What is up, what is up, what is up, everyone, everyone, everyone. It is another day, another time, and another week for your favorite Monday night show. And I'm not talking about Monday Night Football. I'm talking about Real Talk Monday. Y'all, we missed y'all last week. I was a little bit under the weather, but I'm feeling a lot better today. So glory be to God for that. I got my sister, Miss Daisy, up in the building. How you doing, sis?
I'm doing amazing. How are you? I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm doing good. I had a long weekend, but it was good. Can't complain. Y'all know how we start off Real Talk Monday. We're about to start it off with a little bit of the theme song. While that theme song is playing, I want y'all to like, share, tag, tell everybody, tell somebody that your favorite Monday night show is on. So let's go. What is up? What is up? What is up? Everyone, everyone, everyone. It is another day, another time, and another week for Real Talk Monday. My big sister, Miss Daisy, play us in tonight, and then we're going to go in from there.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you yet for another day, another week, another Monday. God, we come before you and we exalt your name because you are worthy to be praised all by yourself. God, as we go forth and we discuss things that the world and that is important to you, most importantly. So God, as we have this discussion, we pray that you remove ourselves, you removed our thoughts, and that you exalt yourself and move and flow through James and I. We pray that all ears that are listening will not only learn and receive the words that we're saying, but apply it in any area that is needed and necessary through their life. God, we pray over every heart. We pray over every soul. We pray over every family that is struggling, that is battling things in secret or in the dark. We pray that, Father God, that they will find you in the midst of their struggle, in the midst of their dark season, mighty God, because you ultimately will get the glory. So we pray this prayer to you, Lord God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So, sis, you want to tell them what our topic is tonight?
Ooh, James. I forgot the word. Go ahead. You do it. You say
it. All right. So, have we gotten away for the real meaning of marriage?
That's what it was. I didn't remember that.
Yeah. I'm paraphrasing because I don't think that was the right word either, but I'm paraphrasing it here, y'all. We're paraphrasing,
I'm using another phone that you didn't send a flyer in the topic to me. So I know it's marriage. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. I know it's marriage, but I didn't have the exact on this phone.
We're about to see. What does kingdom marriage look like? Kingdom marriage. What does kingdom marriage look like?
Right.
So the reason why we're discussing this tonight, let me give y'all a little backstory. I was scrolling through these social media streets. Shout out to one of our loyal listeners and Real Talk Monday fam, Miss Andrea Horton. She sent me a video of a woman that was married and to a former basketball player. And the basketball player really wasn't making the money that he used to make. So what the woman did was she decided to go out and start a OnlyFans page to bring in more money. And then had the nerve or the audacity to ask why the husband got mad about what she was doing. And the reason why we came up with this topic was, if you have been on social media, you know that what a lot of people have been talking about is the Will and Jada situation, where their marriage is basically falling apart. You figured out that they really haven't even been married for years, and many other couples. But what we want to talk about tonight is, what does kingdom marriage look like? Because when you look at people that are getting married that are truly kingdom-minded people, we see that they are lasting longer than what some of these other couples are lasting. So, since I'm going to start it off with these questions, question number one that we'll start off with is...
Can I add, before we get into the question?
Go on ahead.
Comment on that video, because James did send me the video so I can get a idea of where he came up with this topic. And when I first saw the video, let me tell you, I was so disgusted. I don't know if you were able to tell in my response. Were you able?
Oh, yeah, I was.
I was so disgusted. I don't know if anyone has seen this video, but it just really troubled my spirit, because there was no respect in a marriage, both on both ends. And I can honestly, I can understand where the male was coming from if you haven't seen it, but he was basically saying that she didn't have that conversation with him. He didn't know. He had to find out in a way. How did he find out? I forgot.
One of his friends basically told him, bro, do you know that your woman got an OnlyFans page?
Yeah.
Now, after a while, we found out that the woman had said, if the husband would have been paying attention, it had been on her social media. Like, the link had been on her social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know when he found out, words through my mind is not just her saying, if you would have paid attention, but him saying that he has a problem with it. And her response is, well, you're not doing what you need to do to pull in the money. So I had to do what I had to do, and I'm going to keep doing it. And it's too bad.
And another thing that got me was, when he met her, he knew who she was. Not to downgrade this woman or anything like that, but she has came out and said it, that when he met her, she was doing her own thing. She was a stripper, and she was doing what she did. And she's like, he knew what I was when he met me.
What she was. She was no wife. And I understand that with us in our carnal mind picking our husbands and wife in the state that they are, that is the consequences sometimes, yes, that we have to face down the line. And I used to be one of those people to say that, well, you met him that way, and how mm-hmm. But because I've grown so much in my walk with Christ, I now look at things differently. And so, yes, she was out there, whether she was a stripper, a call girl, whatever it was, I don't even really remember. But I honestly want to throw away that saying, as well as, well, you know how you met him. You met me this way. You were a single person. You weren't a married person. You weren't in union with me. So even if I met you as a prostitute, I have now wifed you. So now you are to be as a wife should be. You are to devote yourself to me. So that saying, well, you met me that way, what does that really mean when you're in union? And so that just highlights that the world perspective on marriage gains and has no respect on what a union really is. Mm-hmm. Because we've used that saying for so long. It's never okay because you met someone that way. That may have been God sending that man, and I'm not saying that is the case, but there is some case where God will take you to a point, and then he would, like in the Bible, I forgot the scripture, but where he told Who was it? He told one of the prophet to go find a harlot, to go find a
Yep,
wife.
I remember who
Okay.
you're talking about, but I can't remember the scripture.
Right. So you know what I'm talking about. So God may get your spouse to a point where he now says, I need you, my daughter or my son, to go because they're stronger in their walk. I need you now to go and do what instruct and bring them to me, closer to me. Because I can depend on you to do that, to show them me. Not saying that's what happened with them, but it's just like it's never okay, whether you're in the world or your perspective with marriage is different because now you know what God has revealed you as marriage to say, well, you've met me as a hooker, so it's okay to be a hooker while I'm married.
No, it's not. With marriage, it's supposed to come change. It's supposed to become growing up. It's supposed to come like a newness.
Right. Okay, that was rant. I'm sorry.
No, you good, because that was a good point.
That was just my rant. I just had to hit on that because that's another thing that in a few devotionals that the devotionals that we used to do on a Bible app together, we haven't done any in a while, but I do have different groups I do them with. And this one group I'm a part of, it was a devotion that says, I think it was Tevis actually that we did it with. And it was, I don't remember the title exactly, but it was things that we have saying that we have took out of context to use in our life. And I feel like that's one of them. That is def that wasn't one of them in the devotion, but I would like to throw that in as one of the things that culture has drawn out for so long.
And it has. We have another thing that we have done is we have come up with the do as I say, not as I do mindset. And the one saying that kills me, but it's true, only God can judge me.
Ultimate.
We use that saying to justify our wrong doings. Now, the saying is true. Only God can judge me. That is true. However, stop picking and choosing when you want to use it.
And see, the thing is when to tap in on that, if I'm approaching someone because I've went through a phase and I'm supposed to help my brother and sister along the way, not be up here and watch them keep falling, right? And so if I'm at a place where I went through that thing and I feel that a lot of people take correction as judging because they're so prideful and they don't want to receive a human telling something that they did was wrong because they're looking at it as where do you have any rights to judge? But the scripture says that if you have went through a thing and if you're higher in your walk with God and you've went through a thing, you've sinned, and you are at a place where you can go and grab your brother and sister and
You're
correct
supposed to.
or in right standing to do that. But like you said,
Like you've done it with me on a couple of occasions. Like, bro, come on back. Come on back.
The funny thing is, I keep saying to God, it's funny you say that because I keep saying to God, I wish, though God has been that person for me, because that's my bestie, right? But I wish in my walk earlier than now, when I was out there not really having an accountability, though he was my accountability, but I didn't know what the voice of the Lord sounded like or looked like back then when I was still in ministry and church, but not, just going off of what I see and not really having a sound relationship with God. But I've been saying that to God. I only regret I have, I think, is not having a true accountability, like what I do with you, an accountability partner or just a person to be boldly corrected. Like I want that bold correction. I want someone to grab me along the way and say, that's not Christ-like. Or, you know, I think you're going off the wrong path doing so and so and so and so. I never really had that. I never had that. But God, you know, he will always snatch me up and stuff like that. But I just want to say that because I've been saying that to God. I'm like, God, I never really had somebody to hold me. Look, I'm on my rant. Me and God just be talking. Mm-hmm. But, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Like we take that word, that phrase, and we use it out of context to continue to do what we want to do. And I feel like it's played out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So let's jump into these questions. Number one, what is your view on marriage?
You want to go first? You can go first. Go ahead.
Okay. What is my view on marriage? Marriage is a partnership. Marriage isn't a jail sentence. Marriage is a beautiful thing. Marriage is, you finally found that person that is going to be your helpmate, your best friend, your lover, and the person that is not going to judge you, but is going to push you to your ultimate destination. That's what marriage is to me.
Yeah. For me, marriage is love. Marriage is selfless. And when I say selfless, you can't no longer be thinking about me, 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 me.
You think about yourself less.
Right. So let me give an example on that. I've heard and I've hear still currently, actually recently in my work environment, I've heard that a lot of marriage people have separate bank accounts, or they have one together and one they both have their separate bank account. Why? So marriage is a union, because like the scripture says that you become one. There's no longer any more two. So that's what marriage view is to me. That mine is what's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine.
Right.
Okay, we shouldn't be having no set. That's how issues start, financial problems start. Not saying it's going to be peaches and cream. There will be probably decisions that need to be made in the finances. But why are we hiding our money from our spouse? Why do we have separate bank accounts? And I don't understand that part. But, you know, like I said, it's union. It's one. It's forgiveness, because you're learning that person every day. It's gonna change, and so you have to have an open heart of forgiveness. That's my another view for me. Another one is you have to have patience. Marriage is patience, because if you don't have patience, as soon as the going gets tough, you're going to want a divorce. You're going to want to go. So you got to have patience. You have to have, marriage is always being open-minded to an open conversation, to communicate. You can't lack communication skills in marriage. You got to be open to come outside of yourself. Like when we're in relationships, just regular relationships, you know how we'd be like, well, we get in an argument and I don't want to talk to him first. I'm going to wait for him to contact me or vice versa. When we're married, throw away that agenda. We're not playing those petty games anymore. So marriage is throwing away your pride. Can I say that? Throwing away your pride and your ego. There's no more pride or ego in marriage. So all of that needs to be worked on. If you can't work on it in the marriage, you got to work on it before. And I believe that once God calls you to a union, he's already going to be dealing with that before. And I'm speaking from experience. Okay? Mm. So So yeah, that was those are my some of my views of marriage. It's just an open line of just surrendering yourself the same way you surrender to God. You got to surrender yourself to that spouse, because now you're loving that person through
flaws and all.
Yes, through everything. The good, bad, the ugly, the sad. All of it. All of it. Okay.
Now, it's easy to say that you love a person when everything is peaches and cream.
Yeah.
But here's my thing on it. I don't want to just love my spouse. Because to love somebody is easy. Because of the simple fact of if you are a Christian, the Bible says that you have to love everybody. You love the sinner, but you hate the sin. Mm-hmm. Now, just because I love everybody don't mean that I like everybody. So my thing on that would be, I don't want to just love my spouse. I want to love and like my wife. Because of the simple reason of there's going to be moments where I don't love her at that moment. Because of the simple fact of she's done said something that ticked me off to the highest level. But I'm still going to like her, and I'm going to make sure that all of her needs are met. So it's like you may lose that love for a quick second, but you're still going to like that person. Do anything and everything.
It's just a trial and test every day. Every day.
Oh, yeah. It's like marriage. Let me keep it real. You could be married for 50 years. And every day, you're going to learn something new. Because the me that I am at 34 is not the me that I'm going to be at 64. And the me that I am at 64 will not be the me that I am at 84. So it's like you're learning that person every single day. You're learning what makes them tick. You're learning what makes them click. You're learning like, okay, they used to like this, but now they don't like this no more. Mm-hmm. So it's like you gotta pay attention. Marriage is paying attention.
Yeah, learning, open to learning.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Every day. Every day. Every day. It's a learning thing. I know a lot of times I hear marriage people talk about, you know, their marriage, and always say it's not easy. That's the first thing. And I can't speak on it because I am not married. However, in the picture of what God has been showing me and how he's been taking me through teaching in the Bible of marriage, his true bride and his true union, it really does not have to be technical and difficult. I think we make it to be that. It's a thing that isn't difficult. I don't know why people say that.
I don't either, but I agree with you.
But you know, go ahead, what you said.
I agree with you on that. And if you really want to be technical, what marriage is if you want to go biblical with it, which is what we do on Real Talk Monday, we're gonna take it biblical.
I'ma always talk about God in the Bible.
Exactly. That's always what we're gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna keep it real with you. We're gonna keep it real with you. However, we're going to bring it back to the Bible, too. That's something, yes, you can always expect from us. We're going to have fun, but we're going to take it back to the Bible. And if we want to be technical with marriage, what marriage is nothing more than God's relationship with the church, the bride. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about me and you.
Mm-hmm.
God loved us so much that he laid down and gave his best, the best that he had, so that we could have a relationship with him.
Yeah.
So what is marriage? Marriage is taking self out of the way, giving the best that you have so that your spouse's needs can be met. That's what marriage is. Plain and simple.
And I want to touch on that before we go on our next question. You know how a lot of times we've always heard this saying that a man is to lead, right? And a woman should submit. And it's always been a little bickering about it and debate about that. And I feel that in a marriage, if the two are doing what they should do to love each other selflessly with the love of God, that you won't have to feel a way because you're submitting. And the man won't even have to ask the woman to do anything if we are loved, both people are loved the right way. You would want to do more and go above and beyond if you're truly honored and respected and treated the right way. So, because I know a lot of women, I've seen it in the past, where, well, I'm not submitting because he don't know how to lead. Submission comes naturally. And if you're feeling forced to do it, then you want to ask yourself, were you ready for marriage?
A lot of people want the wedding, but they don't want the marriage. Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
They want the ceremony. They want the celebration. If you're just looking for a celebration, throw yourself a party. Don't waste everybody's time and yours and make a sham of what God ordained as good and perfect in marriage. And try to make a sham out of it just so that you can get what you want out of it.
And then when the bells stop ringing and you're faced with reality, you're ready to dip. And so it's just like, why are we jumping the broom marriage when we really don't want to, in our hearts, submit? Marriage is submitting on both ends. Marriage is submitting your to a person that you weren't you did you didn't share that womb with the womb with that person. So you're gonna have to throw away your fleshly desires. And a woman is an helpmate, an helpmeet. That's what a woman is. She is to pray. She's to govern herself and pray for her family, her husband, and that, like I said before, and that should come naturally. He should not have to force you or ask you to submit. That is just something that you are to do in your marriage. And if you don't desire that, either you're not ready to be married, or maybe you're not. And everyone, it's in scripture. God didn't bless everyone to be in a union, in a marriage with him, but not in a marriage with another human being on earth. So if these things is something that you feel is a friction in your heart, anything that God desires for you, you will always feel the burning desire of it. So if you don't feel the burning desire to want to work on your marriage, to want to work on yourself to please your family and your husband, maybe you don't have the gift of marriage.
Facts.
And that's why you keep getting divorced a thousand times. Because also picking your own spouse,
Come
and
on.
maybe it's just not for you to get married. God didn't create everyone to get married, but we're not ready for that conversation. We're not ready for that. But
Ooh, that's a different conversation for a different day.
right?
That's the next episode. Let's pick that up next episode.
Part two, right? But you next question, sir.
All right, I'll let you read it. Go on ahead, since I read the
What
last one.
are you on?
Number two.
Dang, this whole time.
Dude, we've been.
Okay, it's some questions comments or anything?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
All right. Just they agreeing with everything we're saying.
Okay. So we're going to go through them real fast, I guess. We only did one, James.
Look, that's how you know his topic is good.
No way. All right. So number two is, where have we as humans failed with marriage? I'll let you go.
We as humans have failed by allowing other people to determine what marriage is. We've went away from God. We've stepped away from what God ordained as marriage, and we've allowed the world to tell us what they think marriage is.
Yeah.
And the reason why things aren't going the way that it needs to go, and a lot of times, is when you get married, it is a three-stranded cord. It is God, you, and your wife or your husband. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, notice, I did not say it was God, you, your wife, your husband, your best friend, your wife, your best friend's wife, your best friend's husband, your best friend, all of them. It's three people in your relationship. A lot of times where we mess up and fail in our relationships and in our marriages is we bring too many peoples and too many opinions into our relationships and into our marriage. And then wonder why we can't get any further than where we are. It's because we have too many sheeps and not enough Indians.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
That's what we've messed up in marriage.
I agree. I'm looking at something real quick. So to answer that question, for me, in addition to what James said, where we fell short as human with marriage is not truly knowing the meaning of marriage. And so when you don't truly know the meaning of something, we don't honor it. We dishonor it. Like example, before I really knew who God was and I knew how important my relationship, an intimate relationship was before now, I used to treat him like a side piece because I never knew it. And, you know, I say that, like, I had a whole moment with God about it. But yes, when you don't know the true meaning of something, you don't honor it. Just like example, when you don't know the true value as a child of growing up of money, if you're not really taught, then you have poor money management until you start getting bills and having to pay bills. So I feel like that's one of the main thing that we fall with marriage, because we don't know the true definition of what marriage is. And then another thing is what we desire for marriage is, like the video you sent me, money. She was all about her money. She wasn't about that marriage. She didn't respect or honor that man. She was more concerned about their finances to make sure they're good, because she said, I have a certain lifestyle, is what she said, that I have to maintain. And so you got to go into the marriage with knowing that you can't just be up and making your decisions on your own. And that's something that she did. I want to also agree with you on bringing everyone in the marriage. Everyone knows your business. Like the word of the Lord says, unfortunately, we don't see many examples where they have been successful. Yeah, because we're so paid attention to Jada and Will. We're paying attention to they and Jay-Z. We're paying attention to these worldly marriages, when that's not the example of the Lord. So
you know what I noticed?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the celebrities, if we want to look at them as like at their marriages, right? The celebrities that really have the most successful marriages, you want to know how to keep a marriage successful?
In private.
Bingo. If you look at Denzel Washington and his wife, you look at Morris Chestnut and his wife, so many others, they do not sit here and publicize everything that they are doing. Their relationship is in private. Yeah, you know that they have a spouse, but they not out here running around showing them everything and doing everything else with them. They keep their business their business. Like our sister said, they keep their business to themselves. Exactly.
As you should, because that scripture says that too. You both have to be people who don't want to break God's heart. Absolutely. Ultimately, that's it.
That is so on point.
That is the truth. That is the truth. You got to desire. Thank you for bringing that up. You got to desire honoring God in that marriage more than it's about. Listen, let's be real. Yes, the enjoyment of a kingdom godly marriage is we get a person that we share our secrets with, that we can talk to, pray with, and things like that, and share life with outside of God. But ultimately, that is for God, to honor God. And so if we break that union, you got to desire it more of not breaking God's heart than that union, because then that's like having the fear of God. You want to hurt God or break his union, because we know how he feels about that. Like I was saying, when you don't know what something really means, you don't honor it. You don't have any respect for it. So that was true. That was on point. Absolutely. What was it? Number two, James?
Yeah, we on number three now.
Okay.
We moving along.
Is there such a thing as relationship goals?
I think there is. Mm-hmm. However, it's not what we've been looking at. Mm-hmm. Relationship goals for me is building together, reading our Bibles together, being each other's peace and not each other's headache. Relationship goals to me is not holding account of wrongdoings. But if we're saying that we forgive each other, moving on past it, and letting the ship spar where they may.
Right. Yeah. I agree. I believe there is relationship goals that our hearts would desire. And I used to have this long list of relationship goals, and God told me to throw away that list, right?
I did too. I did too.
He told me to throw away that list. And so the relationship goals have now for me is now what it mirrors what God wants. He wants us to honor him. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to worship him. He wants us to, honestly, this is something that he really wants us to do. Have good, intimate sex. Okay.
Let's talk about it.
Listen, okay. And that's worship. It is worship to the Lord. Okay, because you have saved yourself for this godly marriage, this man and this woman that he has consecrated and kept for you. And when God joins the two union together, he said, now make some godly babies. Okay. Listen. Okay, so that's a relationship goal. That has been something that I've come into agreement with God. And another relationship goals, like I said, is to have some godly babies, to have some babies to dedicate to God, just to serve God wholeheartedly in everything that we do, because now I serve him by myself. So when I connect, when we connect with our person, our God-ordained spouse, we should then edify the body of Christ even more, because when two or three is gathered, we are more mighty, right? So that's what that looks like for me, is relationship goals, as well as God wants us to travel. You know, he wants us to do those things as well. What else is there? Another cute relationship goal is, which is corny, which is something that we should normally be doing, right? Is creating a prayer room. You ever seen it? It's something that a lot of people are doing now.
Oh, yeah.
So I recently saw one a while ago on TikTok, and it was so cute. It was a closet that the husband and wife turned into their prayer closet, and it was a nice size closet. And so they were doing journaling together to God and stuff like that. So, yeah, cute night. You know, listen, a relationship with God and being in a God-ordained relationship, not because it's not out there in the world and it's not worldly, it ain't boring. It's not boring. It's very creative, because God is knowledge and wisdom, and he keeps the fire and he keeps the creativity juices flowing, okay? It is not boring.
Not at all. It's not. It's important.
Yeah.
I thought God keeps that relationship spicy.
Well, because you got to surrender it to him. Okay. Mm. You got to surrender it to him so that he can give the man the instructions. Because just to say, wait, hold on. It's not goals, it's vision. You have to have a vision for your marriage.
Come on.
Yep, God's vision, his blood, his eyes. Yep. You were doing number, you were saying something, or you want to do the next one?
Yeah, I can.
All right, go for it.
All right, so we on number four, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to number four. So we are obsessed with marrying and dating financially stable partners and forgetting to set. So here's what the question is. Are we obsessed with dating and marrying financially stable partners, forgetting to set mental, emotional, and spiritual stability? Are we obsessed with that?
Yes. That's the short end. And then I'll just go into it briefly so you can go. Yes, I do believe so. That the rating of doing that, and that video you sent was perfect example. They married each other on feeling blessed with their money and their finances when he was an active basketball player, I believe he was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he wasn't playing basketball anymore. So, you know, the money wasn't coming in and flowing like it was. And then she was dealing also in the transition. I believe he was, because you could tell he was stressed out. He started dealing with mental issues. You could tell, both of them, because the things that they were saying, it showed no respect for each other's emotional state or our thoughts or our feelings or anything of that nature. So I do believe that we do tend to run into these marriage not having the uncomfortable relationship, asking them what is a trigger for them or what you know, they had to heal from that a past relationship scarred them, where it may have at be certain times in the relationship, your marriage, where it's going to be a trigger. Your mental state is a big part, because your mental state isn't working for the marriage, for yourself. How are you going to be healthy for a marriage if you're not healthy enough for yourself? So I do believe that, yeah, we run into these marriages thinking about money and not being more concerned about the mental state and other things around it. What about you?
I definitely believe in that. I believe that a lot of times we get caught up in physical and not spiritual. We get in infatuated with the idea of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
We get infatuated with the, you know what, I got a marital time clock that I want to. I got like a time clock of where I want to be married by this time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. We can't do that.
Yeah.
Because let me keep it real with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 34 years old. If you was to ask me, I would have been married by the time I was 23.
Mm-hmm.
And if I would have been married by the time I was 23, the person that I was thinking about marrying.
Listen, I'm laughing because God be telling us, like, you thought you was going to do this, but I got something else in mind. Because I thought so, too. I thought I would have been married. You know, when you're kids, you be like, I'm married with this amount of kids at this age. Okay. No. Yeah, didn't go that way. But number
five.
Number five.
Yeah, five.
So I'll just ask that question then. Why do you feel the divorce rate is so high today? Why do you feel the divorce rate is so high?
The reason why divorce rate is so high is we don't have a desire to fight. Our desire to fight ain't there anymore.
Mm-hmm. For me, oh, we got 10 minutes, sir. All right, so for me, yes, we don't have the desire to fight. We're so quick to throw in the towel. What is that? Oh, sorry, I just got a message. I'm sorry, y'all. It just cut the whole thing off. Hold on. Yeah, we're so quick to throw in the towel, and like we've been saying this whole thing, I think this goes over the whole topic, like we've been saying that a lot of us, a lot of people in this world don't know the true meaning and definition of a union, of a marriage. And so because we don't know it, we're so quick to divorce. Another reason I believe is we're getting married to the wrong person. We're getting married to the wrong person because we are so hasty to jump into having a wedding. And when we find out down the line that that's not what we want to do, or they're not who we thought that they were, then we go and divorce, right? So that's to sum that up. But let me share. I can do that at the end. No, since we're talking about divorce, I want to share a scripture. Can I do that?
Yeah, go on ahead. Do that, please.
I want to share a scripture on how God feels about divorce. Okay. Now earlier. Hold on. All right. So here's how God feels about divorce. Because a lot of times we've had 10, 5, 6 divorces. And I just want you guys to know that God really does not condone divorces, only under certain circumstances. Now, if you're being beaten and abused, I'm sure our Lord is not going to have you stay in a marriage where you're physically being abused, right? So the other circumstance is if in Matthew 19, verses 9 through 10, and that reads, I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. So what God is saying right there is if you divorce your husband or your wife for any other reason outside of being physically abused, even though it doesn't say that, but I truly believe in my heart that God does not want someone pounding on you. But right here in this scripture, it says that outside of sexual immorality, if you divorce outside of sexual immoralities, he still considered that you're still married. And how we know that is because he says that you will then commit adultery. Adultery is having sex because now you go remarry, and he never called you or considered you to be divorced in the first place if you're getting divorced outside of sexual immorality. So with you being having sex with someone else outside of your first marriage, God considers that adultery because you're still married and in union. That's like example, like James said, we are his husband, we are his bride. We are his bride. He is a jealous God. He is a covenant-keeping God. And so, not because we want to go serve Buddha in them, that does not mean that he is still not our husbandman. God is still our husbandman. He honors covenant. He's going to keep warning you, but he still considers that you went and committed adultery on him with Buddha in them. So, verse 9 says, I'm sorry, verse 10 says of Matthew 19, 9. I read 9. Verse 10 says, and then the disciples said to Jesus, if this is the situation between a husband and a wife, it is better not to marry.
Come on.
The disciples said that. Can we just be mature enough to say that if our hormones are raging to where we feel we cannot commit to our husband or our wife, then we should just not be married? And that's the word of the Lord is saying. Did you want to add to that, James?
You spit straight fire and it's facts.
Let me give you another scripture. Hold on, since we're on divorcement. Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 2. This one says, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she finds no favor in his eyes because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. Verse 2, and when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. So that's another situation. An uncleanness is meaning she sexual immorality. That's what it means. That's another way of putting it. So I mean,
Thanks.
I would like to say to anyone that is watching, that desires marriage, right? If you want to truly know what honors God in a marriage or in a union, I would just advise you to look up marriage and divorce scriptures in the Bible so that you can come in alignment and agreement with God so that your marriage can exalt what the world thinks that a marriage should look like so that God can get the glory.
That's what it's about. At the end of the day, it's about God getting the glory. It's not about you getting the glory. It's not about anything else. It's about God being pleased with your marriage.
What number we on, James? James,
I think we had seven.
you can ask that one.
No, we are six. What is the definition? What is your definition of marriage?
That kind of can be, for the time's sake, though, I think that can kind of be like number one, remember?
Yeah, so let's go to number seven. Has marriage became more of a self-pleasure than it being honoring to God?
You can go first.
For me, yeah, it has. It has became to the point to where we are so infatuated with the wedding that we forget about the ceremony, that we forget about God. We think about everything else, but not God. Not one time do we say, God, are you pleased with this?
I want to agree with you as well. I feel that we have, because I know I have in the past, I know that in the past I wanted marriage so bad. I wanted marriage so bad.
That we worship it.
it became an idol. It built to where no relationship at all was working. No relationship was working to where God had me sat down, isolated, nobody was looking my way. And so that's what happens when you start idolizing something, God will remove it. And so I feel that, speaking from experience, if you desire marriage, once you make God more important than the promises, you will start to see the doors open in that area. You know, just in your heart, make sure it's, though you're not paying attention to it, because we have this, sometimes I feel like what we do is, okay, I won't idolize it. You feel like if you don't talk about it to your girls and, you know, things like that are in your prayer, but it's still in your heart, right? And so, yes, scripture says God gives you your heart's desire. But if you're holding that desire in a place where you haven't surrendered it to God, he still knows you have a resentment and you've built an altar in your heart regarding that marriage, and you still have it being an idol. Like, do y'all know that you can build an altar in your heart as an idol again that still is speaking against God and not glorifying him? Because then that turns into resentment, because you haven't seen the marriage that you desired come to pass yet. And so then in your heart, you're asking yourself in your spirit,
what am I doing wrong?
Right. What am I doing wrong? Why is everybody else, you're not at peace with it? Why is everybody else getting married and I'm not getting married? That used to be me, y'all. I'm saying to you is not doing this, but I'm speaking from experience. This used to be me. Not saying it out of my mouth, but saying it to myself in my heart, saying, well, what's wrong with me? Why everybody else getting married? And I haven't, you know, God, I've done this, and this. Telling God what I've done. God don't care about nothing of what we have done to sacrifice. We don't gain salvation and promises by things that we do for God.
We so don't.
Let me just let you be known, because he had to check on that. That your works isn't going to gain you faster access to the promise.
Come on, say that again, please.
Your works is not going to gain you a faster access to the promise of God. It's not. And I'm speaking from being checked by God in his love. In his love. I wasn't saying it out of my mouth, but I was still saying it in my heart. And he would always take me to scripture where it's dealing with our heart, our wicked, and our hearts are tightened up against him and resentment towards him, because I feel a way. And I felt like God was punishing me, but I wasn't saying it out of my mouth, but I was speaking it in my heart. God knows that. And until you let that go, that thing ain't gonna come, honey.
At all.
It's not. That was our last question. So to close out, from my close out, I want to I want to share with y'all that God created marriage, right? God is the one that created marriage, not the world. God did. Okay. So in Matthew 19, 4 through 6, it says, haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning, the creator made them male and female and said, for this season, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, like Jane said earlier, let no man separate. And then to leave y'all off with this dope scripture right here, Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife
finds a good thing and finds favor
and gain and obtain favor from God.
Come on.
I think that scripture right there is just so dope. Who wouldn't want favor to gain favor? Even though that's not it, that, and he doesn't even see that as a work. And we are so busy doing things that don't really matter to him to gain favor. But just as simple as seeking with the heart desire of God, a woman with good intentions, you gain favor and obtain favor from God. I hope some of my fellas listening right now.
Come on. Because that's big right there. That's big.
But yeah, that's my closing.
For me, my closing would be marriage is not a death sentence. As I said before.
Yeah.
Marriage is commitment. Marriage is a partnership. And marriage is walking into agreement with one another. That's what marriage is. Mm-hmm. And y'all, we thank y'all for listening tonight. We pray that something was said or done that was a help to you all. Y'all stay tuned. There will be a big announcement released very soon. Daisy don't even know about this because I just got hit up about it just a few minutes ago. But y'all stay tuned and stay looking at the Real Talk Monday page for a announcement coming very soon to you all. Mm-hmm. So we love y'all. God bless y'all. We'd ask you to please, ma'am, please, sir, tune in to the Real Talk Monday podcast, which it will be released on tomorrow at midnight. So make sure y'all listen to that on every major social media and podcast station. All right? We love y'all. Peace.
Bye, y'all. Thank you.